There's nothing on earth that compares to the Catholic priesthood. And today, priestly vocations are booming. Welcome to Vocation Boom Radio, the show that highlights the glory of the priesthood and promotes priestly vocations through exciting information and lively interviews with priests, seminarians and their families, vocation directors, seminary rectors, bishops, and those with a passion for promoting vocations. Here's the host of Vocation Boom Radio, Jerry Usher.
And what a blessing it is to have you tuned in today to Vocation Boom Radio. I am Jerry Usher, your host, founder and president of Vocation Boom. We are online at vocationboom.com, our redesigned website launched in September. Please check it out. We're adding resources as often as we can for the discerning mind, young men, not so young men who might be thinking about the priesthood. We've got resources for others, those of us who support those who are thinking about or in formation for the priesthood. We've got, for example, a section of different prayers. We've got prayers that families can pray, for example. And we've got vocation wisdom from many of the recent popes. So a lot of resources on the website. We're going to be getting those archives up to date here before too long, God willing. Keep me in your prayers. It's always a matter of time with a lot of other things going on. But we've got the website there, this radio program once a week, thanks to our good friends at the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And as you probably know, if you've heard this program, follow us on Facebook. You know we taped some TV shows at EWTN in July. And I got word just the other day that they will start airing in September. So we're looking forward to that. And we have dates in October to tape some more shows. So we're very excited about the launch of Vocation Boom on EWTN television. That is coming in September. You will hear more about that on this program. And of course, also on our website and our Facebook page. And we've started doing on location events at seminaries. And I'm also very excited. It's still almost 2 years away, but December of 2015 to early January of 2016, the first Vocation Boom pilgrimage to the Holy Land for priests and seminarians. So please keep all of this in your prayers. And by the way, you may have heard me mention the benefit lunch that we are having in Indian Wells, California. That is on April 12th. Tommy Lasorda, the legendary Hall of Fame manager for the LA Dodgers, will be our featured speaker, our guest of honor. Steve Garvey, who played for the Dodgers, happens to be a parishioner where I attend a mass at my parish, Sacred Heart in Palm Desert. He is scheduled to attend as well, and we're hoping to get several hundred people there, and we are working hard to underwrite the event, in other words, cover the costs before the event so that we have the operating capital and seed money for future fundraisers coming out of that benefit lunch. So if you can help us do that, we're two-thirds of the way to covering the budget right now. We've raised about $17,000. The budget's around $25,000. So if you can log on to vocationboom.com today, click the support link and make a contribution of any amount. $1,000 would be great. $25, fantastic. I think this is crucial to the future of our ministry. It's going to be like that snowball that we start rolling down the hill if we can have a successful event here on April 12th. And again, we're very excited about that. More details to come. But if you would be so kind, a lot of people have donated so far to help us cover the budget. Will you join them, please, at vocationboom.com or send an email to info@vocationboom.com if you want to talk about some specific items that you might be able to underwrite for that event. So there's a few things going on here. Just delighted to have you with me. And I am very excited to have today's guest on the program. He is Joe Heschmeyer. He's a seminarian. He goes to Kenrick Glennon Seminary. That's in St. Louis. I have visited there on a few occasions. What a beautiful, beautiful seminary. And Joe is studying for the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas. He first began discerning his vocation at the prompting of those around him with the spiritual direction of several priests. That was while he was working as an attorney in Washington, D.C. So he's got a lot of education, of course, a background as an attorney. And also, we're going to talk about, I believe he was in a serious relationship as God was leading him to seriously discern the priesthood. And in fact, Joe began a Catholic apologetics blog. I encourage you to check it out. Shameless Popery, and that's Catholic Defense .blogspot.com. I'll repeat that during the program. And readers of the blog came to think that, you know, through what he was posting and different things going on, that maybe God was calling him to the priesthood. So there were a lot of confirmations that he was to take the path that he's on right now. Joe, it's great to have you with me on Vocation Boom Radio. How are you today?
It's great to be here. Oh, I'm doing great.
Good, good. Well, Joe, you got an exciting story here. I've just touched on a few of the aspects of it right there, but take us back to a young Joe Heschmeyer, your family environment. Were seeds of faith planted, maybe possibly seeds of a vocation at an early age?
Well, yeah, in terms of seeds of faith, yes. I'm actually one of, I'm the fourth of six kids, and we were very much a Christian family, and we were Catholic. We didn't always have the best catechesis growing up, but my parents did their best to sort of supplement where there might have been gaps in what we were getting in Catholic school. It was the 80s, and unfortunately in some parts of the U.S., including Kansas City, Missouri, where I grew up, there were some areas where maybe wasn't ideal. But so we did grow up with a serious belief in Jesus Christ, and my dad said recently that his one desire for all his kids is just to have us go to heaven. And that really, I think, it shows through in a lot of the decisions my parents made and the sacrifices that they made.
Did you have exposure to priests, maybe coming over to the house or, you know, doing things, being around priests at any point that you can kind of look back on and maybe say, you know, I looked at that that vocation with some admiration and maybe future thoughts for myself?
You know, I can remember a particular instance where a priest came over for dinner. I even remember we had fried chicken. I mean, it stuck out in that way. And my dad was in a prayer group with a permanent deacon. And so I got to know him fairly well. And he actually taught me ceramics as a little kid. And so I knew him much better than I knew any of our local priests. And so actually, as a kid, I should mention, as a kid, I was kind of a scheming kid. I remember at a pretty young age wishing we were Messianic Jews so we could still believe in Jesus and have Christmas, but also have Hanukkah. So for similarly, perhaps corrupted reasons, I wanted to be a permanent deacon, to be able to serve at the altar and still be married and have a family.
Yeah, they call that cake and eating it too, right?
Exactly. And so that it wasn't ever a really serious discernment. It was just more of a, well, that'd be kind of cool if I could do that. But, you know, that was one of maybe two or three dozen different life paths that I, you know, like fighter pilot and astronaut and everything else at that age where you just think, oh, that'd be cool if I could do that. But it,
sure,
it wasn't, I never really seriously discerned as a kid.
Well, you are now, and I want to invite our listeners to call and talk with my guest, Joe Heschmeyer, here on Vocation Boom Radio. We are live, by the way, glorious feast today, the Feast of the Chair of Peter. We recognize the office of Peter, the papacy, of course, handed down to us now to Pope Francis, and what a beautiful feast day to be airing this broadcast of Vocation Boom Radio. And if there are any men listening right now, maybe you're on an education track in your life or a career path, Joe left, I'm sure, a very successful and a bright future in a law practice. If you are in a similar situation and you want to talk to Joe about, you know, how did you kind of make those decisions? How did you sort everything out? Give us a call here. Our number is 1-800-585-9396. 800-585-9396. I'd love to hear from any priests who are listening right now. If you've got a similar story, how you had maybe one path determined for your life and God sort of redirected you into holy orders, let us hear, share that with us here at 800-585-9396. And as always, the perennial invitation I offer to parents, grandparents, extended family members of young men, if you want to help encourage them, maybe enable them to be open, to hear the voice of God and respond to it, and really not sure quite how to do that, I'm sure Joe can give you some advice on that. Again, it's 1-800-585-9396. So here you are, Joe. You think you've kind of got things sorted out. You know, you're on not only on the path to a law practice, but you actually have your doctorate in from Georgetown University Law Center in Washington, D.C. So you probably felt like you had things pretty well settled.
I did. It seemed like I had a certain number of goals that I really wanted to achieve, and I'd either achieved them or was sort of on pace to achieve them. And everything seemed sort of under control and going in the direction that I thought it would go. And then God sort of stepped in and sent things a different way.
Yeah, and it mentions here in your bio that you had some priests, you were going to spiritual direction while you were working as an attorney in D.C. Talk about how they influenced you. I'm sure they didn't push you, but what was it about their assistance to you that opened you up to a possible priestly vocation?
Well, by that point, as you'd mentioned at the top of the hour, I'd already had a number of people around me suggest that I might be called to the priesthood. And so I was in a men's prayer group at the time, which I highly recommend it for anywhere where you can get one, if a guy is even partially serious about discernment. It's a good environment no matter whether you end up going to the seminary or not. It's just a great place to grow, and even for a guy who maybe isn't seriously discerning, it's a great resource to have. And ours was led by a young priest, which was even better. There were actually a series of young priests, Father John DeSalles and then Father McKelly. And so I mentioned just kind of offhand to Father Kelly that various people around me were encouraging me to consider the priesthood. In fact, the Pentecostal mother of the girl I was dating thought I might be called to the priesthood, which
is that
I thought
right?
was remarkable, both because she has a good relationship in terms of praying to the Holy Spirit all the time and because she doesn't believe in the priesthood. So it seemed
right.
All the more remarkable for that reason. So I had some serious questions to kind of work through. And so Father Arnie Panula, he's a priest of the Personal Parole Chair of Opus Dei, and I chose him to stack the deck, to be honest with you. I chose him because I knew he recognized that you don't need to be a priest to be holy. And some part of me, I think, was really hoping that I would just get a good, clear go-ahead that said, don't worry, you know, the priest is great, but it's not for you. Go on ahead and get married.
Yeah.
But it wasn't what happened. He had me go on a fast, and he had me put the relationship on hold, and had me really take holy hours seriously, or just time in prayer seriously, to really constantly place this at the feet of God. And prior to that point, the question I'd been asking had always been, Lord, will you bless this endeavor that I'm about to undertake? And he redirected me to ask the question, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And really opened my eyes to the fact that, you know, I'm not a cosmic accident. God put me here for a reason, just as he put everyone else here for a reason. And as a result, he has some opinions about what we do with our life. Like, he has a plan for each of our lives. And so being open to what that plan is such a powerful experience, just to be able to ask him and to listen and to wait until he reveals it. So that
go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to, that was what they provided for me in terms of spiritual direction. It's leading me to that point.
And this is so important. We talk about this on this show a lot, Joe. I mentioned it for any men who are thinking about the priesthood, or really for anyone who's really wants to take the spiritual life seriously. I have a spiritual director. I've been out of formation for the priesthood for 20 years now, but I have maintained that spiritual director relationship. And just talk about, just in general, Joe, how, you know, we all really, I mean, we could inundate our priests, I suppose, if everybody sought out spiritual direction, but the value of it just in general in the spiritual life.
Yeah, St. Francis de Sales had a beautiful passage I was reading last night about the importance of talking to a priest. He didn't specify spiritual direction, but it's very applicable here. And he said the devil is like a seducer. And as a result, you know, if a seducer is going after a married woman or a young woman, he'll try to get her not to talk to her dad or not to talk to her husband. And so likewise, the devil wants us not to talk to a priest about what's going on within our own hearts, either to be ashamed of it or to just think, oh, he'll never understand, or to say, you know, oh, it's no big deal, let's not even focus on that. And God doesn't call us to that sort of silence and secrecy to keep things from the church or to keep things from a priest. And so one of the major roles, and this is true in confession, but true in a very particular way with spiritual direction, is pour out your heart, you know, reveal what's going on in prayer, reveal where you feel called, where you feel afraid, and, you know, open yourselves up that this is a priest is a tool of God who can help, you know, give you the resources to say, this is normal, or, you know, this is something to take seriously, or this is a spiritual practice to try, or do this or don't do that. And in the same way that if you feel kind of queasy in the stomach or something like that, you readily go to a doctor. To go to a spiritual doctor is just an invaluable help that unfortunately so many of us just pass by in our daily lives.
We have Joe Heschmeyer with us on Vocation Boom Radio today. You have access to him. He's a seminarian. He's in his second year of pre-theology. We're going to talk about his experiences so far. He's at Kenrick Glennon Seminary. That's in St. Louis, Missouri. And he's studying for the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas. And that's a distinction because, as many people may not know, there's actually a Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph in Missouri. So two of them kind of share the name Kansas City there. But I want to encourage you, our listeners, to get on the phone here. A real live seminarian who's going through the discernment, has been in a law practice, had a serious relationship with a woman, may have even talked marriage. I don't know. We can talk more about that. But a lot of different things he had to kind of sort out and the decisions he had to make. And if you would like to tap into that experience that he's been through, maybe you're going through something similar yourself, 1-800-585-9396. 800-585-9396. Maybe you just want to know, what's it like in a seminary? Tell me what life is like. I'm sure Joe would be happy to share that with you as well. I want to stay on the law practice just a little bit more, Joe, because what were you, you know, how were you handling the whole situation? You've obviously put a lot of money into this, a lot of time, a lot of sweat, a lot of energy. You thought you had it figured out. How do you face that then when God is sort of maybe prompting you to think of something else? When you look at all the time and money and everything you put into that, obviously God doesn't waste anything, but how are you feeling about all that?
Well, I eventually came to exactly what you just said, that God doesn't waste anything. And I was able to see several areas where I grew, both during law school and as a result of it, where there were just a lot of things that I think I needed to get straightened out in my own life before I was ready for seminary, and ways that I've become much better as a man and much better as a candidate for the priesthood, that I think it was a very extensive process, a very long process in a lot of ways, but I think it was a very worthwhile process, that I don't regret it. It seemed like it was God's will to let me go through this before he revealed that he had this other plan for my life.
Very good. Well, so take us through then some of the steps. You know, you had to obviously, I suppose, notify the law firm that you're working for, and obviously approach your vocation director, the Office of Vocations in your archdiocese. So what's next? When you finally come to that point, and I've been there too, as I told you, I've spent 6 years in formation, and I had the best job I'd ever had in my life when God led me to leave that and go into priestly formation. So God often does that. But what were some of the next steps and things that you had to follow?
Well, when it became clear that I was called to the priesthood, I actually waited to tell my work until I had something really definitive. I didn't want to just say, you know, here's this thing out there, but I don't know when I'm going to have to leave or anything like that. So I talked to the vocation directors of all four dioceses that I'd lived in. This was just as another sort of aside. I grew up in the Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph. I went to high school and college in Kansas City in Kansas, where I'm studying now. And then I moved out to Washington, D.C. So I lived in the Archdiocese of Washington and then the Diocese of Arlington, which is in Northern Virginia. So I'd spent substantial portions of my life in all four of those. And so I knew I was called to diocesan priesthood. I didn't know which diocese yet. So they still had a lot of things sort of to work through. So I just continued to work and just sort of had this going on the side. And so I avoided making any sort of long-term commitments or, you know, giving anything that would be misleading as an impression. But I didn't feel the need to kind of give my boss a full disclosure about my vocational search or anything like that. When I did finally let them know what was going on and that I would be leaving in May of that year, my boss was really relieved because he knew something was going on but thought I was planning on leaving to take some of our clients to another firm. So the fact that he wasn't losing me and some clients to competitors, he said he could afford to lose me to God.
Wow, that is just beautiful. And something else I want to touch on maybe after the break here, Joe, we've got some calls that we're going to get to as well here in just a couple minutes, and that is the relationship that you were in. I mean, this is so common. I've interviewed so many seminarians who found themselves at that particular crossroads, and we'll talk about that and so much more. But really, the time for your calls is up next on the other side of this break on Vocation Boom Radio. Angela, hang on. You will be first. Our phone number, 1-800- 800-585-9396. If you know someone that you think has the qualities, characteristics of a possible priest, and you want to encourage him to at least be open to think about that in his life, Joe Heschmeyer, a seminarian on the program today, I'm sure would be happy to help address that question for you. Obviously, any men who are listening, if God is tapping you on the shoulder or, you know, tugging at your heart, and you're not quite sure, you know, how to go about the process or making those decisions, or you find yourself just really at a difficult kind of a tug of war going on in your heart, I'm sure Joe would be happy to address that too. 1-800-585-9396. Again, your phone calls are next here on Vocation Boom Radio.
Find help in supporting vocations. Vocations. At vocationboom.com.
We all know a lot of priests, and most of us know at least one seminarian. If there's a way we can support them, it's to help them better know the faith they're called by God to teach the rest of us. Many priests and seminarians already use the Faith Database, the searchable CD-ROM that you load right onto your computer. Learn more about the Faith Database at faithdatabase.com. It contains more than 10 Bible translations, over 1,500 full-length books by authors such as Aquinas, Newman, and Chesterton, writings from the Fathers and Doctors of the Church, 2,000 years of church council documents and papal writings, Bible art and maps, and much more. You can either read and study an entire volume or use the search feature to enter a word or phrase, and instantly dozens or hundreds of results pop up that have to do with a topic you're interested in. Learn how you can get a copy for yourself or for the priest or seminarian in your life by logging on to faithdatabase.com.
Those dedicated to forming tomorrow's priests are lining up to show their support for Vocation Boom. Bishop Kevin Rhodes of Fort Wayne South Bend says, "I highly recommend the website vocationboom.com, a wonderful initiative to help young men consider whether God might be calling them to the priesthood. The cultivation of vocations to the priesthood is an important part of the new evangelization. I am very grateful for Vocation Boom, which assists those called by the Lord to respond to that call." Will you get behind the boom in priestly vocations? Become an apostle of vocations today at vocationboom.com.
Mary of Nazareth is an epic new full-length motion picture on the life of Mary, Mother of Christ, from her childhood through the resurrection of Jesus. Now available from Ignatius Press for sponsored theatrical events. Mary of Nazareth vividly captures the essence of Our Lady's profound faith and trust in God amidst the great mysteries that she lived with as the Mother of the Messiah. For more information, please visit maryfilm.com or call 770-591-0045.
Supporting the church's efforts to increase vocations to the priesthood. Vocation Boom Radio.
So, you've answered God's call. Now, it's time to have your call forwarded. Support, encouragement, and inspiration for those called to the priesthood.
Very nice to have you here on Vocation Boom Radio, Jerry Usher, on this feast of the Chair of Peter. And we do, in one sense, some people think, well, you know, is that a physical, you know, an actual chair, you know, somewhere in Rome? Well, I do think that there is a chair that we venerate in a sense, but it really is more the office of Peter, the papacy. Of course, Jesus giving Peter the keys to the kingdom and calling him and Andrew and all the other apostles to be fishers of men. And that is something that continues down to this day. Men are called to be priests in the Catholic Church and to be fishers, literally fishers of men, to go out and lead souls to Christ. And we have a young man with us here on the program today who is pursuing that vocation. God willing, he will persevere, again, if it is the will of the Lord. Joe Heschmeyer, he is a second-year pre-theology student at Kenrick Glennon Seminary. That's in St. Louis. We'll talk about what pre-theology means in just a few minutes. He's studying for the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas. Joe, we do have some callers on the line. Would you like to see what's on their mind?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. We're going to start with Angela, who is calling from Indiana today. Angela, thanks for your phone call. How are you?
Hi. I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Doing just fine. Thanks.
I was calling because I feel like my brother-in-law, who is not Catholic, and has been grown up Protestant, but his mom has told me a story about when he was young, she always thought he was going to be a preacher, and how he had told her even when he was young, he had this dream and he was preaching in front of people. And when she had told me that, my mind automatically, I don't know if this is just my Catholic upbringing, but I envisioned him as a priest. And it seems as though St. Anthony is really wanting to intercede for him. And my husband has come into the church just in this past year. And he is in a serious relationship right now with a girl, but I just feel like I just don't see him in that vocation. And I was just wondering if this is just me or if there's really a vocation there. It's just on my heart constantly. And I also, my confirmation saint was Saint Cecilia, and her story was a conversion of her husband and brother-in-law. And I just early on had seen a connection there in that as well. But I was just wondering if you had thoughts on that.
Well, it seems like it's certainly possible. I mean, it may be, there are certainly a lot of Protestants who end up converting, and many of them go on to at least take ordination seriously if they don't end up pursuing it. So, for example, the vocation director for the Archdiocese of Washington, who was helpful in my own vocation, is Father Carter Griffin, and he's a convert from Presbyterianism. And he'd been in the Navy and had been, you know, not a Catholic at all. And God called him into the church and called him into the priesthood. And he's a phenomenal priest now. So I know that these sort of things happen. I don't know the particulars in his case, but it's certainly worth praying for. That if this is the plan of God for his life, you know, he may well be using you as an instrument, and this may well be the reason why it's on your heart.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know if is there anything that I could do, or should I be praying in a certain way, or?
Well, I suppose I would just pray that God reveals to him what his plan is for his life, and if you want to give him things to encourage him in terms of both the Catholic Church and the priesthood. It may be helpful to point him towards some of the old sermons. So, for example, St. Augustine's sermons. There's an incredible wealth of both his letters and then his actual preached sermons. So a Protestant who likes preaching hopefully would like hearing about, well, what did the early Christians preach about and what was their preaching style like? And that should open him up to seeing the priesthood up close. St. John Chrysostom has a book called On the Priesthood, and it is a beautiful read. It's very powerful. So you'll see in the early church that, you know, these people who they might consider preachers, they're priests. They're preaching homilies, but they're priests. And so they speak of themselves in a way that's very obviously Catholic. So if he goes to read them just to see what their preaching style is like or what sort of things they're interested in, and if he does so with an open heart, he may find himself increasingly drawn towards the Catholic Church because, you know, these are men who preached constantly on things like the Eucharist and on the importance of communion with Rome and on Mary and on all of these different subjects that you wouldn't hear in an ordinary Protestant denomination. And they sound Catholic. And so you can hopefully help maybe instill in him a hunger that will be satisfied in the Catholic Church and, God willing, at the altar.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Angela, there's a book, too. Joe is probably familiar with it. A friend of mine, Sam Alzheimer, who runs an apostolate called Vianney Vocations, which is named after the St. John Vianney, of course. VianneyVocations.com, they have published a book called To Save 1,000 Souls by Father Brett Brannan, and it's just kind of a guide to discerning a vocation to the priesthood. I don't know if this gentleman that you're talking about, your brother-in-law, is quite at that point or not. I don't know, but that's something I might also want to look at VianneyVocations.com.
Okay, yeah, because I've had conversations with him, and he has opened up in his conversation about God and the way he portrays his understanding of the love of God. to me, it seemed like he had definitely a gift of conveying that when he was just in conversation. And so, yeah, that would be kind of neat to see. So I will definitely look into those books. And St. John Vianney is one that has been popping up here and there for me as well.
Well, you can't go wrong there. He was a patron saint of parish priests for, I guess, many, many years. And then he has now been named by, I believe, Pope Benedict during the year for priests as the patron saint of all priests. So no going wrong with St. John Vianney, Angela.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for the call. Our number is 1-800-585-9396, 1-800-585-9396. See there, Angela, Joe, I mean, there's just proof that so many of us, I think, know somebody, a young man, or as I like to say, even maybe a not-so-young man who is a potential priestly candidate. And talk about how we need to be on the lookout for those individuals, because as so many people in the church have told me, you probably heard this, everyone, in a sense, is a vocation director.
You know, that's it's a great point. A lot of men have a certain skepticism and resistance about vocation directors, like actual, you know, professional vocation director, so to speak, the person who has that title, because they feel like, oh, you know, they probably have some sort of quota they're trying to meet, or they're trying to get everybody to go into seminary. Or so as a result, a lot of guys who may be called to seminary have a certain wall where the vocation director is in some ways in the least privileged place to reach them. But their local priest or the people in their parish or their family or their friends, these people who know them well and know them personally, if they see something in them that's, you know, it makes you look at them and say, you know, I think that person might be called to the priesthood. I think he'd be a good priest. Even if there are some areas where you think, you know, I think he has some areas to work on. If you've got it on your heart, don't be afraid to tell him, because you could end up saving him years of kind of aimlessly wandering, or, you know, you could save him from missing his own vocational calling in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, that could be just the last thing a young man needs. Maybe he's been agonizing over this and really just at that point of just about to say, Lord, okay, I'm gonna step out in faith and take this seriously, and yet maybe not totally sure. And then that word from one of us could be just the thing that leads him to do that. So
exactly. I think if you talk to young men about their vocation stories, I don't think I've ever heard of one who was convinced to go to seminary because a vocation director told them if there hadn't already been a very serious inquiry there. But there are plenty who began to ask the question seriously after they were sort of urged to do so from some pretty unlikely quarters, including people who were virtually strangers. So, you know, it's an uncomfortable conversation to have, I'm sure, to say, you know, I think you might be called to the priesthood. I've had that conversation with a guy or two, and they won't always go. They won't always check out seminary. They may, you know, they may be going through something you're not aware of, but you may be helping them in a way you don't even realize.
You know, I want to get back a little bit for a moment here, Joe, to I believe you said it was the mother of the woman you were dating who was, I think you said, a Pentecostal, didn't even accept or believe in the Catholic understanding of the priesthood, and yet she was the one who looked at you and thought maybe you had what it took to be a priest. I mean, here, not every person making a comment like that is going to be perhaps as dynamic or unexpected, I guess is the word I'm looking for. But here, it was almost a prophetic utterance on her part.
Yeah, you know, and I joked that she just wanted me not to date her daughter, but that wasn't the case at all. It was something where I think really God was speaking through her, and you know, he can speak through any of us. You know, with Balaam's ass, he spoke through a donkey, so surely he can speak through you and I.
Yeah. Joe Heschmeyer with us here on Vocation Boom Radio, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-585-9396, 1-800-585-9396. Give a call. You'll talk to Angelica Duarte first, and she'll put you through to us and put you on the air with Joe. He's a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, studying at Kenrick Glennon Seminary in St. Louis. Joe, I want to talk about your experience so far. You're in your second year of pre-theology. We'll discuss what that is for our listeners in a minute. But about the relationship now, you had the spiritual director, I believe you said, who encouraged you to put it on hold. So was she okay with that?
She was amazing about it. You know, I think there's this stereotype that guys enter the seminary if nothing else in their life is going well or they don't have any prospects or anything like that. But this wasn't the case in my case. I was dating the girl of my dreams, and she had converted to Catholicism very early on in the time that I knew her, and she was very seriously Catholic. And so when it became clear that I needed to discern before I would be able to, in good faith, go forward with marrying her, she was very encouraging of it. You know, she said, "Well, you got to double check," because she didn't want me kind of going in not sure. And you know, we talked about it very seriously because I was worried about it being, you know, painful for her, and surely it was. But she said, "Look, if you're called to the priesthood, it'll be like you died and went to heaven. There's going to be the pain of loss, but I'll be really happy for you." It was remarkable. I don't know that I would have had that kind of grace had the shoe been on the other foot. Had she been saying, you know, I think we need to end things so I can go to religious life, I think I would have been like, what about all this time and all this? But no, she was incredibly graceful.
Yeah, and that's another lesson too, Joe, I think for listeners, for guys who are in similar situations who think, you know what, I can't break this woman's heart. I can't possibly end this relationship, and therefore maybe vocation is lost, and yet who knows what the reaction is going to be. God's grace has to be in the middle of a situation like that.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the major things for me was just always remembering that God loves her more than I do. So it's just like, okay, I want the best for her. He wants the best for her that much more. So obviously, I don't know better than he does. So defer. And it was wonderful. He took great care of her. She's happily married now, and it seems like, you know, she brought the guy she married into the church. It's borne a lot of fruit there in just ways I never could have expected.
That's just fantastic. I'm so blessed to hear that. And in a couple minutes, we'll get a break. And then after the break, I want to talk about your experience in the seminary, Joe. But you've got here on the notes that we have prepared for the show, you say that a priest should be prepared to treat the bride of Christ as your own bride and treat the flock as your own children. So hear what this is saying, and the church has always understood holy orders in this way. A priest is, yeah, he's given up earthly marriage and marital relations and biological children, but you're very well aware of the fact that you, if you know, do become a priest, you will have a bride, you will have a spouse, and you will have countless children, perhaps.
Yeah, and indeed, actually, early on, that was one of the major hurdles that I hit. I talked to Father Kelly about that, the parish priest I mentioned earlier, and I said, look, you know, I'm getting these people around me saying this, and I was starting to take it seriously, but I said to him, you know, I want a wife and kids, and he said, good. If you didn't, you wouldn't be a very good priest. And it was sort of like jujitsu, where the force of what I thought was a really good argument was suddenly used against me. And he kind of opened my eyes to the way that God uses that natural desire for a supernatural end.
And at the same time, you know, it's kind of like in our basic, you know, for every one of us, our pursuit of God. It's not that God makes it difficult, you know, too difficult, certainly, but he wants us to pursue him. He wants us to make, in a sense, hard decisions and choose between what, obviously, in this case, Joe, are two very good things, marriage and priesthood. So this is really something that we all, I think, have to face many times in our lives.
Yeah, you know, it is. It's much easier in some ways to give up something you know is evil or something that you know is not for your greater good in any way. But to give up a legitimate good for an even higher good is more of a sacrifice, for sure.
Well, I tell you what, let's get our second break in this episode of the program done right now. And when we come back, we'll find out how things are going for Joe Heschmeyer in the seminary. He is at Kenrick Glennon. That is in the Archdiocese of St. Louis. A lot of dioceses send their men there. He's in second year pre-theology. Of course, he had his doctorate in law, and that was from Georgetown University Law Center in Washington, D.C. But the church requires a philosophical underpinning or a foundation before the theology is laid on top of that. So that's what pre-theology is. We'll talk more about that with Joe when we come back. If you've got a question for our guest today, 1-800-585-9396. 1-800-585-9396. Stay with us. We're coming right back.
Young men, take action during this year of faith. Vocation Boom Radio.
Why do Catholic priests not marry? Isn't celibacy unnatural? Can it cause emotional troubles and even sexual deviance in a man? These are a few of the questions many people ask themselves. Now they're persuasively answered by experts in Married Priests. 30 Burning Questions About Celibacy from Ignatius Press. Learn the wisdom of priestly celibacy. Order Married Priests at 800-651-1531, ignatius.com, or at your nearby Catholic bookstore.
We all know a lot of priests, and most of us know at least one seminarian. If there's a way we can support them, it's to help them better know the faith they're called by God to teach the rest of us. Many priests and seminarians already use the Faith Database, the searchable CD-ROM that you load right onto your computer. Learn more about the Faith Database at faithdatabase.com. It contains more than 10 Bible translations, over 1,500 full-length books by authors such as Aquinas, Newman, and Chesterton, writings from the Fathers and Doctors of the Church, 2,000 years of church council documents and papal writings, Bible art and maps, and much more. You can either read and study an entire volume or use the search feature to enter a word or phrase, and instantly dozens or hundreds of results pop up that have to do with a topic you're interested in. Learn how you can get a copy for yourself or for the priest or seminarian in your life by logging on to faithdatabase.com.
Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel that he wants us to pray that God will send more laborers for the harvest. It's souls that are waiting to be harvested. That implies that God is waiting for our prayers and is eager and ready to give the church more holy priests. From this passage, it seems, on one level anyway, that an increase in vocations is dependent upon us and how fervently we ask God to provide us with more priests. You don't have to do anything lengthy or formal. Just make a point each day of lifting your heart and mind to God in supplication for more priestly vocations. After all, he told us to. Can we possibly imagine he won't answer? More is accomplished by prayer than by any other means, because our God is a God who is anxious to answer our requests, especially those that are aligned with his most holy will. Prayer, it's the one thing we can all do for priestly vocations.
So, you've answered God's call. Now, it's time to have your call forwarded. Support, encouragement, and inspiration for those called to the priesthood.
And this is Vocation Boom Radio on this Feast of the Chair of St. Peter. Thank you so much for carving out a little bit of time in your day to join us here. I am Jerry Usher, your host. My guest is Joe Heschmeyer. He's a seminarian at Kenrick Glennon Seminary in St. Louis, studying for the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas. I promised we would get to some details about your life, how that's going for you so far in the seminary, Joe. But I want to get to another call first. We have Grace on the line, and Grace is calling from Las Vegas, Nevada, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio this afternoon. Grace, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. I have a lot of respect for priests as a woman, because I feel that, you know, a priest doesn't look at like a female. It's like a sex object. Like, you know, women are afraid that their boss would. But so I think women really, really have a lot of respect for priests. I know, you know, they do. And sometimes I can cross the line. Priests kind of got to watch, how's he going to, the gentleman, your guest, going to be able to discern if, like, a woman's coming unto him, you know? And can you also explain, isn't today the day that priests are ordained?
Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, sure. I think the second question is the more straightforward one. It depends on the diocese or the religious order on the day that they ordain. We do our ordinations close to Pentecost. But I believe there are some that do ordinations on the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter. As to the broader question about kind of healthy interactions with women, it's a very good question, and it's actually something that they really try to prepare us for here in seminary. Because you're right, you get a man who's a godly man, a man who's a leader in his community, and I think it's natural to a certain extent that emotional attachments can happen, and sometimes they're over a line, and sometimes they're not appropriate for him or for her. Even if nothing happens, so to speak, there are still ways sort of compromising your integrity or compromising your ability to minister. And so it's something to be really vigilant about. But at the same time, you can't just ignore or cut off half of the body of Christ because they're women. It's not a practical answer. So there's a lot of just kind of, you know, being as innocent as doves and as wise as serpents. And, you know, I think in a lot of ways it's the same question that even a married man faces, for example, in the pro-life movement or any of these areas where maybe women wish that men stepped up more to the plate. When you find a man who really does so, he has to both keep his own heart guarded and he has to make sure that he's not allowing any of the women that he's in contact with to sort of compromise themselves emotionally or put themselves in a position where they're likely to get hurt. And I think having some humility, but also having, you know, just an honest self-assessment. It's easy to have sort of a false humility that you just think, oh, you know, she would never be interested in me. And that doesn't do you or her any good. If there's a risk, then you need to be aware of what's going on in your own heart, and you need to be aware of the signs externally. And this is another area we talked before about the importance of a spiritual director. This is also an area where I know that many priests have fraternal groups of some kind. So, for example, the Jesu Caritas model, where priests usually around the same age or number of years of experience will get together and just share with one another what's going on in their own hearts, and they'll pray together and pray for each other. And getting a third party involved is, I think, a really good check where you can say, is this appropriate? Is this over the line? But yeah, you know, they're teaching us the tools sort of to use that. So I think a lot of priests will go into, if they're open to formation, a lot of priests being ordained will have some of the tools to handle those challenges when they come.
All right, Grace, thank you. Very good question, and thank you for sharing the respect that you have for priests, certainly something we all have here at Vocation Boom as well. Grace, God bless you there in Las Vegas. Thanks so much for that phone call. Joe, it's probably a good lead-in to talking about your experience at Kenrick Glennon so far. First of all, for those who you know, aren't familiar with the term pre-theology, I mentioned a little bit going into the break what that's about, but you've obviously got a ton of education, and yet the church says, okay, now you still need to get that philosophical foundation. So talk about what you're going through right now in your second year of pre-theology.
Oh, great. Well, these 2 years have been devoted to philosophy. In particular, they're devoted to a pretty Thomistic sort of philosophy, like based on the teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas, which is the sort of preferred philosophy in the church. There isn't an official Catholic philosophy, but this is certainly the norm and the preferred one. So we learn to sort of see the world through Aristotelian and Thomistic lenses. And then we also learn about some of the modern and contemporary challenges to that. So, you know, we read a lot of the maybe unpleasant authors, not just like the Richard Dawkins of the world, but their predecessors, the people who had maybe more philosophical background, who are more serious threats. And so we read the challenges, and then we read the responses to them so that we know sort of how to respond to those things when they come up. The critical thing separating pre-theology from theology is that because it's philosophy, we're not dealing particularly with the Bible or with Revelation at all. Everything we're dealing with here is, at least in principle, something that anyone using reason could come to see, okay, I can see the truth of this, without needing the grace of faith.
And now from here, obviously, you will go into theology. Will you stay at Kenrick Glennon for that as well, I presume?
I haven't heard anything official in terms of where I'll be next year, but prayers around that, I'm sure, are greatly welcomed.
You haven't been told to study Italian yet, have you?
I can't answer that question.
Good. Well, Joe Heschmeyer is with us here. He is a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, studying at Kenrick Glennon Seminary. That is in St. Louis, Missouri. Talk about just life there inside the walls, Joe. I mean, it had to be a little bit of a change for you from, you know, anything you'd experienced before.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't sure what to expect with seminary at all. I sort of thought it'd be, I think on some level, a lot of guys worry it's going to be this overly somber environment where you're going to be the only guy there who has a sense of humor, or you're going to be the only guy there who, you know, still has faults. And that's not That's not really the case. It's a great community. It's a good community of men who love Jesus Christ and love one another, and they're pretty open about their faith. They're really, you know, positive about it. But they're also they're normal guys. We have plenty of sports teams. We have guys who just go and watch like Thor or something. You know, like it's a good range of things. It isn't like a museum. I guess I'd put it that way.
Right, right. Well, you know, and I spent 6 years in formation, two of those years, one each in two different seminaries, and I can vouch for what you're saying, Joe. I found the fraternal bond, you know, the esprit de corps, just to be fantastic. They were some of the best years of my life because everyone is really on the same page, pursuing the same goal. I liken it to, say, you get together with, you know, a couple dozen of your buddies to watch your favorite, y'all have the same favorite football team, you know, on Sundays, and you have that. So many things in common. Like you say, it's not this dry, boring, get me out of here kind of place. I mean, the seminary is really, I think it's an exciting place, actually.
It is. It really is. And you'll get, guys from a wide range of backgrounds. So in my class, we study with the college seniors. So you have guys who came into seminary straight out of high school. And then you have guys who were from any range of backgrounds, seemingly a weirdly disproportionate number of engineers, architects. We had a garbage man, anything you can name. Like, these guys come together. There's another lawyer here, you know, and so they have this common love of Jesus Christ, love of his church, and love of the priesthood. And they each bring their own unique style, and it's great because you end up forming friendships that, but for your vocation, you never would have even talked to this guy. Like, you would have no reason to even approach him. But he comes to things with a different perspective as you, and you both end up growing a lot as a result of it.
Well, Joe, in our last minute or so here, I know there is a website for your diocese. I can give that out unless you'd like to share that with our listeners.
I actually don't remember the web address of it. Hopefully they'll forgive me for that. So if you want to share that.
Yeah, it's kckvocations.com for Kansas City, Kansas. So kckvocations.com. And Joe, one thing I like is that they have put all of your photos and just kind of a page for each one of you. I think that's a great thing for especially other guys in your archdiocese. They can go onto that page and find out these things you're talking about. Like, these are real guys that I wouldn't mind hanging out with.
Yeah, the guys in my diocese are very close to one another, even the guys at different seminaries. We love each other. We go on pilgrimage together every year.
Fantastic. Well, Joe, I wish we had a whole lot more time to spend with you, but I like to ask all of our guests, especially someone in the position you're in, and we've got about maybe 45 seconds for this, but speak to other guys who might be listening right now to invite them to, you know, make the same decision you've made to seriously think about the priesthood.
Sure. I'd say the larger the sacrifice is, the more God will compensate you for it. There's no amount of generosity you can ever have that you won't just be overwhelmed by the flood of the response. So if you have 20 great reasons why you think it's impractical, offer those 20 reasons up to him. You know, give it at the offertory at Mass. And if you feel so moved, then offer all that up. And like I said, you won't be disappointed. Even if you're not called to the priesthood, God will reward the sacrifice, and you'll be better off for it.
Well, fantastic, Joe. Always the time passes real quickly here, but I'm so glad we got you on the program, and I would just ask that you pass along for us on behalf of Vocation Boom our gratitude to all of the men, of course, the faculty, the priests, the spiritual directors, the formation teams. I know you can't do that all individually, but just if you can, let anybody know that we're so grateful for all that they're doing and for you and the other men who have answered this call to take the priesthood seriously in your life. God bless you and your continued pursuit of this. We'll all be praying for you, and we ask that you keep us and our work in your prayers.
Great. Thank you very much. God bless
you. All right. Thank you. Joe Heschmeyer. Again, folks, there is someone to pray for, and as he said, he's not alone. And of course, if you listen to this program, you know that he is not alone, because there is indeed a vocation boom going on. We talk about it. We were at St. Vincent de Paul Regional Seminary in Florida in January. Monsignor David Toops, the rector there, who's on our advisory team, he was letting us know that they have their highest enrollment ever, and they're expecting, of course, even more to come in the coming years. And this is happening all over the country, and it's because of your prayers. So these vocations are the ones that we've been praying for a long time. So keep up the prayers, and please, will you be able to help us out? I mentioned the April 12th lunch in Indian Wells, California. Our featured speaker will be Tommy Lasorda, the Hall of Fame manager for the Dodgers. Steve Garvey is going to be there, and this is to benefit Vocation Boom. We are about $8,000 away from reaching our $25,000 budget. We need to cover the budget going in so that we have the funds from the event to work with in the future. So will you log on to vocationboom.com and make a contribution today? Or if you'd like to make a larger gift or discuss it with me, email me at info@vocationboom.com. I'll be talking to you again next week. God bless.